All right. Well, why don't you take out your Bibles and turn to Joshua 8. We're in part 2, Cured by Obedience. Remember last week we had part 1, and we read the first 29 verses, and we're just going to read 5 verses, verse 30 to 35, Joshua 8. At that time, Joshua built an altar on Mount Ebal to the Lord, the God of Israel, just as Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to that which was written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool has been used. Then they offered burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings on it. There on the stones, Joshua copied the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the Israelites. All Israel, foreign and citizen alike, with their elders, officers, and judges, stood on either side of the ark of the Lord's covenant, facing the Levitical priests who carried it. As Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded earlier, half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, to bless the people of Israel. Afterwards, Joshua read aloud all the words of the law, and blessings as well as curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read before the entire assembly of Israel, including the women, little children, foreigners who were with them. All right. So, Joshua 8, we're looking at, it's time for pilgrimage. 20 miles north of Ai. This is where they're brought to where Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal connected. So, this is not a picnic. This is not like a little respite here. This is rather to remind the people of the principles by which they could ensure that defeat could not happen again. So you see here in verse 30, it says, Joshua built an altar to the Lord God in Mount Ebal. And it says in verse 31, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Okay, two kinds of offerings. So first of all, the burnt offerings. No, it's not the toast that was in the toaster before you left and came to service this morning. It was all for God. The burnt offerings that are mentioned in the Bible are all for God. And it's basically saying, I'm all in. I'm all in with you, God. Total consecration of self to God. The animals were sacrificed. They were all burnt up to God. And if you want to check this out, it's in Leviticus 1, 1-17. It talks about the burnt offerings that God commanded them. So we got burnt offerings, and then you got peace offerings. Peace offerings were different. The animals were sacrificed. The meat was given to the priests and the people to eat. So, really, it's the first instance in the Bible of a barbecue. Oh, I know. I know. Mr. Pringle, he likes that. Okay. So, basically, what this barbecue did was it symbolizes gratitude and a commitment to God and also fellowship because they all ate together, basically had nice potluck together. And this, if you want to check this out, this is in Leviticus 7, 11 to 18. So, burnt offerings, peace offerings. Now we're in the Valley of Shechem between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. What did they do there? Why does God want them to go to this valley between these two mountains again? They got to make this 20-mile hike from Ai. Well, the first thing is it was a place to be taught the law of God, life and death, liberty or license. So they had to go back over the law of God. Obviously, they forgot about it because they weren't obeying it when they got defeated. Second was a place where God first promised the land of Canaan to Abraham in the Valley of Shechem. So he's bringing them back to the first place where there was a promise that, hey, I told you, this land was yours. I delivered it into your hands, and you got to go back to the place of remembrance and draw the line in the sand and say, this is what God's promised us, and this is where we're going to stay and take him at his word. And also, the Valley of Shechem was the place of Jacob's well. Okay, remember that story about Jacob's well and watering the animals? And it's also the place where Jesus sat and talked to the Samaritan woman in Luke 4. All right? Yeah, place where Jesus sat and talked to the Samaritan. Where he said, you know, I have water that you don't even know about. I am the Messiah. So this also is a place, so place where they're taught the law, place where God first promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, place of Jacob's well, place where the two mountains on either side of a two-mile-wide valley. Now, these two mountains stood for something. We've got Mount Ebal that was rugged and barren and rocky, and Mount Gerizim that was wooded and beautiful. And in between is the Ark, okay, the Ark of the Covenant. The priests bring the Ark right in the middle, right in the valley. So there's natural acoustics there. They could hear from side to side. The altar was built at the foot of Mount Ebal. Okay? The altar was built at the foot of Mount Ebal. Why? Because the law is at the foot of judgment. The law is built at the foot of judgment. The place of communion, worship, sacrifice, discipling, and discipline. Half the people stood on Mount Ebal to pronounce the sentence of judgment for the curse of disobedience. So you've got half the people over there on Mount Ebal. Why build the altar there? Because it's at the foot of judgment. Judgment for the curse of disobedience. That's what we're talking about. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, and those were the ones that were standing on Mount Ebal. Reuben and Gad had already wanted to go back from Canaan. Remember that? Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, those were the ones that wanted to stay on the east side and settle for less. So, the judgment for the curse of disobedience from Mount Ebal. The second one is the blessing for obedience. And on that side of the mountain, the wooded and beautiful side, were the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. Okay? The blessings and the curses were recited, life and death, heaven and hell. So, they spoke these things to the people. If you disobey, this is what's going to happen. If you obey, this is what's going to happen. So, I'd like you to read Deuteronomy 30, 19. I'll read it out loud. You can maybe put it by your notes. I call heaven and earth as witness against you today, and I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. See, God's saying, look, there's a choice. I give you a choice by an act of your will to choose life or death, heaven or hell, right? And yet he wants you to choose life. He's telling you to choose life because there's blessings in life. So we as Christians are saved by grace, by the death and resurrection of Christ, but we're not absolved from the obligations and responsibilities of the law. Everybody says, oh, it's grace, grace, there's no law. Well, listen to this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, Romans 8:4. The law is still mentioned there. So the sentence of the law is finished. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, he took care of all of the things that were partaking as far as us keeping the law. But the standard of the law is still in effect. Okay? So I'll read that again. The sentence of the law is finished. It is finished. Jesus took care of the sentence of death and hell of the law. But the standard of the law is still in effect. So what's the standard of the law? Holiness. Holiness is not optional. Have our beliefs become action? Think about these. Has our belief become action? Has our Bible become practice? Have our lives been made holy? Remember the story of the 10 virgins? They were just that. They were all waiting for the bridegroom, but only 5 kept enough oil to keep their lamps lit. What did Jesus say to them? You know, they went off to get more oil because they wanted the oil from the other five virgins, and they go, no, go get your own oil. And by the time they came back, the bridegroom had already come, and they shut the door, and they knocked on the door, and he says, I never knew you. Man. That's heavy, because they were all the virgins, and they all had oil, but some didn't have enough, and they didn't keep enough. So, finally, the law was written on the altar, verse 32. What does that mean? How do you write the law on the altar, especially the altar of uncut stones? They were not to be cut by man's implements. They were to be uncut stones. So the altar was where the blood was shed. Even in all of our failure, sin, or unbelief, or shame, if we come to the altar where judgment was sentenced and walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sins. So, the law was written on the altar. How do you write on stones that are not cut? Well, what they did is they put this mixture that's like plaster of Paris that they mixed and they put over the stones. And the plaster of Paris was written on with the law. So the law was written in the plaster of Paris. Okay? So you got these uncut stones, then you've got this kind of a white substance over them that they're writing the law in, and then the blood is over top of that. Now, what's that symbolize? The blood covers all. The blood covers the law. The blood covers the altar. The blood covers things that are written there. The blood of Jesus covers everything. So, Jesus says in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you hate what God hates? Do you love what God loves? Are you longing for the Lord's work? Do you have zeal for souls? Are you interested in his word? Have you forsaken him at the altar of your heart? Because, you know, Jesus says that we should love the things that God loves. We should hate evil. We should love our neighbor. We should have zeal for souls. I mean, we're talking about what? What's eternal? It says God's word and the souls of men. So you put those two together. There's not any better thing that you can do. I mean, the people that you're working next to and stuff, do you understand that if they die without Christ, they're going to go to eternity in torment and away from God? We don't even realize it. We just think, well, you know, they're kind of a nice person. We've been watered down by our culture and our Western, you know, everybody's okay. Or we're born right in the first place. Why do I need to be born again? See those bumper stickers, you know? So, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you hate what God hates? Do you love what God loves? Do you long for the Lord's work? Do you have zeal for souls? Do you have an interest in his word? All good things to think about. Because the altar is the place that the blood is shed and it covers all of our sins. And we've got to tell other people about it. Well, once you put your Bibles aside, and let's take time and we'll pray and have some time of fellowship and we'll finish up that the second part of Joshua 8.